so today I want to do two things within Moshko, and the first one is quick. Second one is less quick. The first one is just a case that comes up in the context of Mashkan, which is Chakirei Narshai. So, okay, number one, the Gemara says that there are three things that we don't paskin like. Amar Rava Lishilchos Lo Ketarshei Papunoi Velo Kishar Mechozanoi Velo Kechakirei Narshai. Now, what is this Chakirei Narshai? So, the Gemara says Chakirei Narshai Kasvi Hachi Mishkin Leplanya Are Leplanya Vahadar Chakrei Mine. It's where you, the malve, I need examples again, fine. I lend money to Adam. In turn, Adam gives me a secured property as collateral. And then I rent the property back, right, or I sharecrop it back to Adam. Right, so he is now paying for his property, which is in my hands. So the Gemara said that doesn't work. That's not a good thing to do. So the Gemara says, obviously, Amos, kind of the Akaneel, how did this whole thing even work? That how did I get it to such a point where I can now act as owner and, you know, sharecrop it off back to Adam? And that's the problem, right? So the Gemara says, "Ve'inne de karatz v'achi kanina mine v'shahina kame inne v'hader chakra." And then the Gemara says, maybe it really does work if you actually write that you are kona it and that you're holding on to it for a while, and then after a bit of time, then you give it, then you, you know, rent it off to the original owner. And the Gemara says, v'lav milzi, that's also wrong. We just don't like this chakir and narshai, and the reason is pretty simple, right? It looks really bad, right? I you know, Adam lent borrowed $1,000 from me, gave me a mashkon, and then I'm renting back the property to Adam, and he's paying me another, you know, whatever, $100 a month, right? That looks very suspiciously like ribbis. The Gemara says that doesn't work. Now the question is, a few questions. So first of all, daraisa darabanan, and the second question is, what type of mashkon are we talking about? Will it work with any mashkon? So, just for simplicity, I gave you the Beis Yosef, where he notes that Kazava Rambam Sheino Ella Haramas Ribis. That even though this looks really bad, that's all it is. It looks really bad, and therefore it doesn't mean they're Abanan. But technically, as we've already seen, the Mashkon at some level does become the quasi-property of the Malva, and therefore, just because I have now rented it out back to Adam doesn't change the fact that at some level I have the right to rent it out, I have the right to sharecrop it out, and therefore, yes, I am getting back my $1,000 plus whatever Adam's paying me, but that's no different than me getting the fruit from it or renting it out to somebody else. And therefore, it's only derabbanan. Avol Rashi peirshi ribis gmura. Klomer dig loy milson mafresh al daskein hilvo. And Rashi says, no. If you do this, it reveals that this is a farce, right? Huvra davar mafreya, that this was just. It's not just. It looks like ribis. This wasn't a mashkon at all. This was just your backhanded way of paying ribis ktsutza. And therefore, Rashi says it's ribis d'oraisa. Now, why isn't this a mashkon, right? What?
I mean, there's no ketsutza here, is there?
Well, there really is, right? Meaning I sent the rent, let's say, you know, he borrowed $1,000, plus we set the rent at, you know, that seems to be somewhat ketsutza. Now, Rashi in general is a bit more malleable than, let's say, the Rambam. The Rambam is not, but there's good reason to look at this as ketsutza, in the sense that, you know, there's a price on that. At least in Mafreya, the cost of a sefer atrumos all does Rashi with lo dami lamashkanta. But he said this is not, you know, why is this not just a mashkon? D'shani yachshel lova oved v'zen notel schar peros. He said this is even worse than the case, right? Mashkon, we discussed the problem of me getting my $1,000 back plus taking payros. But this isn't just rent, right? This is the classic case of chakir and ashar is chakiros, right? It's sharecropping, where it's not just Adam is renting, it's that Adam is renting by working on the field and giving me a percentage of what he works. So it's not just like I'm making payros off of this. I have the original ove working his field and giving me some of his hard-earned produce simply because I lent him money. That's why this is so bad. Because of Odva, Atla Dvarv, the Efshar Lomer, the Lokari Leris Ketutza. Now he said, it's possible that you could have said, it's not Ketutza, Kablonista, I lo Avda, lo Yavle. And he said, it's possible that you would say, it's not Ketutza, because maybe he won't make any money, right? Chakirus is right, sharecropping, where he'll work and I'll get a percentage. If I'm getting percentage, so maybe you'll say that even.
Chakirus is not a percentage.
It's a
fixed amount.
Right.
Aresis is the percentage.
Right, but only if you produce something, right? You have
that's
to produce.
I think Chakirus is even if you're not.
Right. Well, that's not right. That's not how he's reading it, right? Reshon lo kari le ribis kutza kablonis to ha ilo avda lo yavle. Oh, sorry, sorry. If he did kablonis, you're right. Sorry. If he did it the other way, right? Chakirus is kutza because there's a set amount. If you didn't do it the other way, right? We did a percentage since it might not be, so maybe it won't be kutza, it won't be daraisa. Aval yarad bitaris kablonis lo avela avak ribis ad kam lashonu. Mashmid dar tzila the Rashi didn't ribis kutza yesh lo vyotze bedayanin. Right? And he said, so, right, to answer Tommy's question, how do you get to ribis kutza? Well, if it's chakirus, not kablonis, kablonis, you're right, it's a percentage. It might not be a set amount, it might not happen at all. But chakirus, where you do set a set amount, that's why it's. Right? If it turns out it was a farce to begin with, so then you're paying extra money and it's a set amount.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Ketutz also is required that it has to be B'shas Halvoah?
So, right, so I assume that's why Rashi formulated his Hovar Davar L'Mafreya. Right, that l'mafreya, right, means that retroactively it turns out that was your intent the whole time. That it was, even though you're right, you didn't verbalize that at the time of the halva, we look at it and say, that's what you meant from it, and we read it into your intent, we count that as ktitza meikara. Again, whether or not you need it at Shas, right, halva, we've seen is, the Rambam is very insistent on that. The Ravid thinks you can do it at Harvach HaZman, but we saw the Rishonim who think that it's not true, that Ketitza is any time, right? So there were some Rishonim who thought that, but not all Rishonim thought that. So either Rashi does think that that's why he's going with Mafreya, though if I remember correctly, Rashi was one of the people who didn't care. They thought Ketitza was only a set amount and not Shas Piron, but I have to check. The Talmidei HaRashba just said that this is only if I gave it directly to Adam. If I sharecrop it out to Yaron, and then Adam goes to Yaron and makes a deal, so that's not my problem anymore. Because it's not direct, and therefore it's not clear that this was a farce. It just happened to be that in the end of the day, he gets his property back. But that's not my problem anymore. So that's the first question, right? Daraisa, Darabanan, it does depend, Chakirus, Kablonos. And the second question is, what Mashkon are we talking about? So Kazav Arivash, Vizel Lishono, Kazav Ramban, Chikirin, Aishar, Afilu B'Mashkanta, Desura Asur. So the Rivash and the Ramban think that this is Asur even B'Mashkanta, Desura. And even though we saw last week that Mashkanta, Desura is the most lenient, because it's sort of a Kinyan, in this case, where the problem is that it really looks like this was a Harama, not in the Derabanan sense, Harama in the sense that we're really violating Ribis Ketutza Daraisa, we're just trying to hide it. Right? If that's the case, it's even going to create problems with Mashkanta Desura. But he notes there are some Rishonim who said no. Mashkanta Desura, we already established, is not a. It might not be a mashkan at all, it's just schiros. And if it's schiros, it would be mutter. So the reason this is important is only in clarifying that, it's important in clarifying that point, right? We talked about Chakire, that Mashkanta Desura, it is almost schiros, but the question is it almost schiros, or is it schiros? If it's almost schiros, so then in the case of Chakire and Arsha, it's going to be Asr, because it's almost curious, but it's still a mashkon. And therefore, if it turns out you're performing a harama, then it's going to be ribis. If chakir and arshai is actually schiros, it doesn't look, it's not almost schiros, it's just straight up schiros, and this isn't a halva'a, well, if it's not a halva'a, it's just a schiros, so then I can rent to whoever I want. That's not called a haram anymore. So that sort of, marginal chakira, whether mashkanta desura is like a schiros or actually a schiros, comes down to this machlokas we've shown him here, whether chakir in Narsha is going to be mutter mashkanta sura, but he says la halacha we paskin and halacha naktin da chakir in Narsha feel mashkanta sura asr midrabanan. He thinks that at the end of the day we paskin it is asr. And if you look at 3 in Shulchan Aruch and in 4 in Shulchan Aruch, it comes up twice. You see that these shujas are reflected. It said mashkona zu and ba malva lachra askir la lova bidavrakatsu lashana yesh osrin. The yesh matirin, right? This is mashkanta de sura. So you have a machlokes, whether it's asr or mutter. Ve'im adam acher zachra meha malve yachalu lezachra menu. But if there's a third party in the middle, then it is fine. And the Ramah tells you, look at I must have flipped these, but that's okay. One of these is Kuf Samachal, and one of Kuf Ayin Beis. I don't know how that would have happened, but okay. That's fine. The next one is, no. Did I just repeat it twice?
Yep.
I don't know how that happened. Because I just cut it from Bar Ilan. Okay. Well, it says basically the same thing in Kuf Ayin Beis, but no, I'm not going to go looking for it now. The Shach in number 5 suggests that even the heter of the in-between party is only by Mashkanta Desura. But in a regular mashkon, he thinks that we're not going to be meikil, even with the third party in between. Again, the reason is presumably because the closer you are to a straight-up mashkon and loan, the more machmir we have to be. Right, and he also notes in Sivkat and Chaf, and this is, I think, eminently reasonable, that when we say that a third party solves the problem, that's only if you didn't set that as the condition, right? Meaning if Adam, me and Yaron sat down in a room and said, Adam's going to lend me money, I'm going to lend Adam money, Adam's going to give me a field, I'm going to give it to Yaron, and then Yaron is going to give it to Adam, it doesn't matter how many steps there are in between. If you make it, if you set up this ploy at the beginning, then the reason that the person in between helps is only because it makes us believe that this wasn't intentional. If we know it was intentional, then that didn't solve the problem. The Chavos Das notes that there's machlokes achronim, whether in order for this problem to be solved, Yaron has to agree to rent it from me or sharecrop it from me, or actually has to have taken it, right? Meaning, once Yaron has agreed to take it from me, he can then give it to Adam, and therefore, even though technically it will go directly from me to Adam, because Yaron never actually came to the field, right? He changed his mind right after we made the agreement and gave to Adam. It's fine, because at the end of the day, I made the deal with Yaron made the deal with Adam, or is it only solved once Yaron actually starts working the field, because then it shows he's taken control, and then he can give it on. That's a machlokes achronim, which the Chavos Das notes in 6. Okay, that's just sort of a mini topic that I just wanted to get out there. Next issue. So, like I said, as bad as Kuf Ayin Beis was last week, Kuf Samach Ches Tes is worse by a thousandfold. It is the worst simon I have ever seen. It is impossible. It is this monstrosity of a simon with virtually nothing from the Gemara. All it gets from the Gemara is that certain problems of Ribbis are solved if a goy is involved, and that's Reicher Chiner's headache. But then,
after Yom Tov.
But then in the middle of that discussion, the Rishonim, primarily the Rush, but everybody else gets in on this, but the Rush has this tshuva with 25 different cases that he was asked about this, have all these shailas of what happens if a Jew borrows money from a guy with a mashkon, and then he gives over the mashkon to another Jew, and then the Jew pays back the loan to the Jew, or pays back the loan to the guy, and the mashkon passes hands again, and all these different permutations of mashkon. And they get... Roy Tertiner's adjective for it was labyrinthian. That's right. It's crazy. What?
I didn't even go to Bush.
Yeah, well, okay. I had other adjectives for it. They weren't as polite, but whatever. But no, it's torturous. It really is really, really hard to understand. So instead of going through all the cases, which we won't, I gave you many of the cases that have to do with Mashkan at the end, I want to set up the principle. Because basically, what is common to all those cases is that the assumption, as I said, is that a Jew can't borrow money from a Jew, obviously, beribis, A Jew can borrow money from a non-Jew, or a non-Jew can borrow money from a Jew, biribis. That the assumption of that whole simon is that there are certain cases where it looks like a Jew is borrowing from a Jew, but it's not, because there's a mashgon involved from a non-Jew, and therefore, really what you're doing is redeeming the mashgon of the non-Jew, and therefore it's mutter. Or, it looks like a Jew is borrowing from a non-Jew, but it's not true, because there's a mashgon of Jew involved, and since you're paying off the mashgon of the Jew, there's really a Jew involved. So what I want to do is, and this may take all the time, or if we have time, we'll look at some of the cases, is I want to just explain the conceptual background for what is going on in those cases, and explain how it is that Mashgon messes everything up, that even if, you know, you have a Jew as the Lova and a non-Jew as a Malveh, a Jew's Mashgon can somehow make it as if the Jew is borrowing money from the Jew who had given the Mashgon to the non-Jew. Right? How does that even happen? So I just want to try to sort of get pinned, because last week we just sort of assumed, yeah, Mashgon is at some level owned, but that doesn't really help us understand it, so that's what I want to try to understand. So to understand it, let's look at this Sugyan Kiddushin. The Sugyan Kiddushin is the following question. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lai Skachli B'mana V'niach L'mashgon Aleah. Right, Reuven says to whatever, Sarah, I don't know, marry me with $100, but instead of giving her the $100, he gives her a mashgon. Great way to start marriage. So the Gemara says, ain't a mikudeshet. It doesn't work, because mana ain't kan mashgon ain't kan. There is nothing there, right? Because he didn't give the $100 yet, and what he did give is a mashgon. She has to give back the mashgon, so this is not kiddushin. And it was, right, it doesn't work. So Eisve Rava L'Rav Nachman Kitra Mashkon Mikudeshet. But we have a brisa which says that it works. So the Gemara says, Hasam b'mashkon da'achirim u'techir b'yitzchak. It works if Reuven gives Sarah not a mashkon and says, look, I owe you $100, hold on to the mashkon, and eventually I'll pay you back. But if instead Reuven says, look, Shimon owns me $100, and I'm going to give you my mashkon and give you the right to collect the loan from Shimon, that does work. Why does it work? The Gemara says, "Chidur b'Yitzchak." The Amar Reb Yitzchak, "Minayin v'achov shachon a mashkon." How do we know that a creditor owns the mashkon? Shneamar lechati yatzdaka, because the pasuk said that when you return the mashkon to the lender, it is charity, right? That is an act of charity. And the Gemara says, "Imeinu kone." If it's not sure that the creditor in some way becomes the owner of the mashkon, then why is it considered charity when he returns the mashkon to the lender? Right? He returns his pajamas at night, he returns his you know, millstone in the morning, right? If it belongs to the loveh, so why is it an act of charity? It's not charity, right? It's, you know, no one will thank you if you give them back their own money. So mikan lebal chov shekona mashkon. So therefore you see that the bal chov, the creditor, owned the mashkon. So, what's going on in this sugya? So, first, for the first half of it, right? The Gemara says that if you use a mashkon to marry someone, it doesn't work. So, why is that true? So, there's basically two approaches in Rishonim. It's much more complicated than that, but let's simplify it and say there's two approaches in Rishonim. There's the Shita of the Rush, who says that when we say, mana ein kan mashkon ein kan, what we mean simply is that no kinyan took place at all. Why did no kinyan take place at all? Well, a mashkon is a guarantee on a loan. And there was no loan, right? You said, I am going to be mikadesh you with $100. And then instead of giving her money, you give a mashkon. And the Rosh says it doesn't work at all. Nothing happened. Why? Because a mashkon guarantees a loan. If there's... which means, in Lamdish terminology, the shibud on the object is a function of the shibud haguf, right? Is a function of the liability that the person has. If there's no personal liability, you can't put, right? You can't put the tafel before the ikir. You can't create shibud in the object without shibud in the person. And therefore, mana inkan mashkan inkan just means this whole thing doesn't work at all. Yeah.
Isn't it only because now this person is attempting to become her husband? In other words, he can create a chov.
But not through a mashkon, right? He assumes it's not true. A mashkon wouldn't work that way, right? A mashkon, because you're preceding it, right? You could say, I owe you $100, and then give a mashkon. You could do that. right?
Is that what he says?
No. No, well, it's not a chov, right? He's saying, meaning, I could say, I owe you $100, I create a chov, and then, you know, right? Like, I could, you could not lend me money,
that's
and I could write a document. So the Rosh says, no, not in this case, because you're giving a gift, or you're not giving a chov, right? You're, I mean, what are you giving her, right? You can't be mekadesh with a chov. Right, so it doesn't work. You can't say what you're doing is being mekadesh with a chov because that wouldn't work. That wouldn't be kiddushin.
Isn't that the second part of the Gemara? What I'm wondering is what's okay. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here.
So I don't want to focus on the Rosh's position because I mean we'll come back to the Rosh. I mean you can look at the Rosh. I mean I gave it to you in 11, right? Right, the Rosh in 11, right? Says Amar Rav Amar Nachman Amar Leiskashel Manav Niachla Mashkan Alav Einam Mekudeshet Manav Ega Mashkan Yesh Mefarshin Benu Davka Bekinyan Shavadim Geuv Dedamta Desamchol Chen Karaka Lefi Shekinyan Shenikinin Bekesef Ein Kan Kesef Yochal Hakno Shein Mashkan Kanui Shelo Nozin Lo Tzchus Begufo Avalam Adam Nozin Madon El Chaveiro VeNozin Lo Mashkan VeShvil Ham Tanas Hamatana Meshichas Hamashkan Kilu Zocha Manatana. He says, look, you know here, right? You need kesef, not a chov, and there is no kesef, right? And because you can't be mekadesh with a chov, right? So then this doesn't work, because the mashkon is trying to guarantee the chov, right? That doesn't work.
So the second kind of mashkon in the Gemara is like a weird mashkon on a tana or something?
No, the second one is a mashkon of a cherem, which we'll come back to. We're going to come back to that. But your own mashkon, it doesn't work, right? Now he said, it's not that you can't, right? I mean, he said, like Adam said, right? I could say, I'm going to give you a matana, and then until I give you the matana, I can give you a mashkon. But in Kiddushin, it's not enough to create a chov. You need to give something, right? So he said, you can't start by giving the mashkon, right? And the mashkon is meaningless because, right, there's no loan. And the loan can't be created because a loan won't create Kiddushin. And therefore, right, meaning, there's a certain circularity there. But he's saying, a loan can't create Kiddushin, right? Maybe a mashkon could, but a mashkon can only be a function of a loan, but the loan wouldn't work because it's Kiddushin. We're going to leave the Rosh for a moment. But we'll come back to the Rosh in a minute. But the Ramban understands it not that way. The Ramban says, no, it's really true that mana inkan, mashkon inkan just means there's no kiddushin. It doesn't mean that this type of kinyan couldn't work. This kinyan could work. It is not by kiddushin. Why? So he says, if you look at the Avni Miluam, I just gave you the Avni Miluam's analysis of this. He says, L'shitas Ramban v'arashba, the mefarshim mishum da'agid gabei, aval Matana Mahani, im notin chavero mana, the notin lo maskin alem, zocha maskin lishibud mana, avagav lo schaiv gufo alhamane. I think I actually gave you the Rush's explanation of the Ramban, of the other Shita, which is why that's confusing. So let's just focus on the Ramban, though. The Ramban says that, look, you can, if you want, create a shibud. You can transfer a shibud by giving a mashkon, there's no problem. It's a technicality that by kiddushin, you need to give something completely, right? He makes a gzeira shava to gittin, either an actual gzeira shava or not. But he said, what's going to happen? By kiddushin, I need a full nesina, but here you didn't, because the woman, she doesn't own the mashkon. You've given her something, but she's still dependent on you because you've got to pay off the loan, right? The chov that you created. So yes, you succeeded in creating a shibud. Yay. That doesn't help you because by kiddushin, you need an absolute nesina. So, therefore, the Ramban says, look, if I wanted to, as Adam said, create a chov on a gift, right, with no money, just say, I'm going to give you $100, in the meantime, I'm giving you a mashkon, that would work. The Rosh says not that way. I think what I did was I ended up giving you the Rosh of the, right, explaining the other Yeshomram, but not his preferred sheet, which it doesn't work at all. So the Avni Miluim says, okay, v'ikla meidak, ech yem hani l'matana, kem chamru b'shas, yir b'chon uchsayu, devar inish, Inun Arvin, Kalechid Lova Potter of Nami Potter said, I don't understand. How does this work? I mean, the Rush's Svara should be right. A Mashkon guarantees a loan. If there's no, right, the Lashon of the Gemara in Bava Basra is that your Mashkon is your Arev. Your collateral is your guarantor, is your, right, it's like a cosigner. But you can't have a cosigner without someone who borrowed. So how are you creating a Chov? How do you start with a Mashkon? So he says, "Ve'ein lomer de mashkon shiny mishum de balchov kona mashkon va'adiv shibud a mashkon mishar shibud." Don't say this is unique. This is some super shibud because you're kona. Mishumachim mishtabed a mashkon v'yichad leka love devadiv achov de kona mashkon nami lesa below love. He said, "It doesn't matter. Mashkon depends on a loan." He says, "Shuv reitzi shadasa rash b'vichuva den eschayav arev avagav de leka love." He said, "You know what? I take it back. It's not true." maybe you can create arevus without a lova. And he gives a whole case of how that's possible. So then, without getting to the details of his case, just look down after the Chuvas of Rashba. It says, What does that teach you? That, yeah, you can actually create a chov directly from a mashkon. Right? If you give someone a mashkon, even if it doesn't precede a chov, it works. Right, and that's what he says in the last line. Arei lefaneinu das Ramban Rashba b'shibud mashkon dimahani afagav deleka lova. Now, what does that mean? Right, so what the Avnei Milum is telling you is, according to the Ramban, you're right. You would have thought that a mashkon needs to be preceded by a loan, but it's not true. The nature of the obligation of mashkon is that the chov is somehow embedded in it. So much so that according to the Ramban, I could actually create liability that didn't exist simply by giving someone a mashkon.
How much?
What? Complete.
Equivalent to the value of the
correct, mashkon. Right? According to the Ramban, that's exactly what happens, right? I create a $100 loan by giving you a mashkon, right? Now, how does this even work, right? Because it's a very strange idea, right? How could you, right? Why would it be true that I could create a shibud, right? Like, why is it I give you a mashkon and magically you owe me money, right? I mean, the svara seems right. Why can you have an arev before a lova? That doesn't make any sense. So I was listening to a shir earlier in the week by Rav Asher Weiss, where he notes, he suggests something very creative, so I'll throw it out there. He says as follows. Look at number 9. The Gemara in Ksubos, talking about knas to a to a rape victim, says that Amar Abai Baal le'umesa pater. If the guy raped her and then she dies, he doesn't pay. Because it says you have to give the kenas to the father of the girl and not to the father of the dead girl. So the Gemara says, Milta the Pshita le Abaye, mi Baile the Rafa. Abaye thought this was obvious. Rava had a question to by Rava, Yish Beger Bekever, Oin Beger Bekever. Right? Can you become, right, an adult in the kever or not? Right? He had the shaila in another case, because you don't get the money if you are a bogeret. So does she become a bogeret, right? Even if she dies before she actually reaches 12 and a half. So yesh bekever udimna have, odilma ain beger bekever davia have, right? Does she become a bogeret? And therefore, if it hasn't, sorry, does she become, different part of it. Does she, if she becomes a bogeret, the money goes to her and not to her father. So let's say you haven't paid the knas, and she's now, you know, when she died, she was 12 and 5 months, and now she's 12 and 6 months. Does the money now go to her child, right, or not? Do you say that someone can get older once they've died? Meaning, do we continue this liability to the girl after death? So Tosfos has the following problem. Right, to illustrate it, we generally say by knas, when does one become chayiv in a knas? Only by Gemar Din, right? Only because Arsher Yashir and Elohim Elo Atzmo, the liability is created by Bezdin. So Tosis's question essentially is, what are you talking about? How is it possible to even talk about this? Like, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that you can't be chayev if you never convicted the guy before the girl died? Of course you aren't chayev if you didn't have a Gemar Din. There's nothing to speak of, right? The liability isn't created when the crime happened. The liability is created in Beis Din. So if she dies before there's a court case, why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you're exempt? Of course you're exempt. The liability was never created. Right, that, so he says, etc. And look at the last line. He says, he says, it's not true. He says, really, you're chayev from the shazbiyah. So Rav Asher Weiss said, what do you mean you're chayev from the shazbiyah? You're not chayev from the shazbiyah. That's a false statement. Right? Kenas, you become liable only when the court convicts you. So how can Tosfos tell me that I needed a pasuk to tell me that I needed exemption because you became chayiv in the money when you raped the girl? It's not true. It's just not a true statement. So Rav Asher said, you know what you see from Tosfos? His other rayos. That even though it's true, you don't become liable to pay until Beis Din says so. Once they say so, it's as if you were chayev retroactively, because the maisa hamachayev was the rape, and when Beis Din makes you liable, that throws the chiyuv back into the past to the maisa hamachayev. So what does he say? So Rav Asher Weiss says, you know what you see from here? That there are certain times in halacha where potential chiyuv can be embedded in something, even though it doesn't come to fruition until later. And even though it doesn't come to fruition until later, that doesn't mean that the actual chiyuv itself happened later.
I think you apply this to all Maisa based in, or just
he has multiple. He has three cases there.
Because we have sugyos about this in Makos and elsewhere about
when
you're chayav.
Correct. He doesn't say no. He's not making it. Right. He was proving the power of potentiality. He wasn't making a sim at Maisa based in. He was talking about Mashkon. He uses this to explain potentiality.
Isn't this a discussion about knas in general?
Yeah.
Is
this
a dior, or
right.
It's just correct.
Also. It's a dion in Rechon Wasserman has a long dion about it and challenges Rabbi Akiva Eiger and says Rabbi Akiva Eiger is just wrong, and he has multiple rayos, right? I mean, I think Beis Yud Aleph or Yud Zion or something in Kovash Yurim.
Unless it's a let's say Sidei Shanayim chiyuv that's generated until something to attach it.
Right. So I don't want to get into Maisa Beis Din. The point that he wants to prove from this Tosfos is simply right. That you can't, even though the moment of liability doesn't happen until later, the fact that there's an act that sets it in motion means that once we clarify it, we bring it to Beis Din, the Shas Chiyuv is defined by when the potential was created. So Rav Asher suggested that's what a Mashkon is. You know why Mashkon has so much power? Because what does the Mashkon allow you to do? It allows you to collect. Now, even though it's not true, right? You can't collect now. Right, you can't collect now because the loan isn't over, right? Or in the case of the case of a matana, there was no loan, right? He says it doesn't matter. If I give you the ability to collect, that makes it as if I owe you money, right? You can put the tafel before the ikker because the fact that a mashkon gives you the ability to collect means that I can create a chov. I can start not with the chov. I can start with giving you the tools to collect. And once you have the tools to collect, that works back into history, the ability, the reality of a chov. And I think, so if we take now, right, the Avni Miluim's understanding of the Ramban, you take Rashi's understanding of a Mashkon, right, you start to understand why it might be true that Mashkon can magically carry the chov. Because what is a mashkon? A mashkon is exactly that. It's not just a guarantor. In some level, it embodies the chov in it. Right? The fact that it is the tool to collect means that he who holds the mashkon is at some level the malveh, even if he isn't the malveh. Right? Because it, so some legal way, because it gives you the potential to collect, it rewrites history. It also makes you the malveh. And even if there was no chov, it makes you a malva without a chov. Right? There's something about that ability to collect. Now, the truth is that the Rush thinks this is not true, but we should be careful. Right? Because you would have said, oh, well, maybe there's only the Ramban. It's not only the Ramban. Everyone agrees to this Svara. Because you go back to the Mana, Einkan, Mashkon, Einkan. The Rush there says that in the case of Kiddushin, when I want to be Mekadesh someone with a Mashkon, it doesn't work. But that's not what the Gemara actually says. The Gemara says, it doesn't work if I want to be Mekadesh a woman and I give her a mashkon. But if I give her somebody else's mashkon, of someone who owes me money, then everybody agrees that it works. Right? What does that tell you? That it's a technicality. When I, if the husband gives the wife something, then he's not really giving her something. Because it's agida gabe, because you can't start kiddushin with a chov. But if I'm Mekadesh a woman with a mashkon, right? That belongs, that I have because someone else owes me money, I'm giving her something of value. And the Gemara says it works. It's true. I may not be giving her the full loan. That's not the point. It's shavah bruta, right? I'm giving her something. Meaning the very fact that a mashkon allowed you to collect has monetary value. No one argues on that. The only question is when you're giving a mashkon for yourself in the context of kiddushin. But when you're giving someone else's, everyone agrees to this. You look at the Shud HaRash, between 11 and 12, which didn't get numbered. Like I said, almost all these cases in the in Kuf Samach Ches Tes, the reason I say Kuf Samach Ches Tes is not because it's two simanim, it's one simen. It's a hyphenated simen. It's the only hyphenated simen that I know of in Shulchan Aruch, where it's beyond me. I don't know why this is. I know the Prisha has a discussion about it. I don't get it. So he said, right, he was asked, I just gave you one of them. He says, Ruvein Nitrach Lamos, Veheve Mashkon Alkuti Lishima. Right, Ruvein needed money, so he brought the Mashkon that he had from a guy who lent him money to Shimon. V'omer lo, and he told him, Halveni akeren, v'kach haribiz me'ata v'hala. Lend me the principal, and in return, you will collect not just the principal, you'll get ribiz from the guy. And when the guy pays off the loan, so the interest that accrued while the mashkon was in my hands will go to me, and that which accrued in your hands will go to you. My iser yeshbo. Right? What iser is there? So the Rosh says, Chuval, Ruven Shevi Mashkon Shakuti Lashimon, Kibashkin Nogum Heter. We do this. Why? He said, because when Reuven gave over the mashkon, he gave over his power over this loan. And we don't look at it anymore like Reuven was the malve, and that Shimon is paying ribis to Reuven via the guy. No, Sharei Akuti lo nischayv leShimon klum el leReuven of Shlichas Reuven and Nosan Ribis leShimon v'schar hamos Nosan Shimon leReuven. Shimon leReuven said, we don't look at it this way. We don't look at it as a Shlichos, right? Why? So skip down. Right? He brings all the kids in the middle. He said, "Lo dami, dehasam hare milva malva b'lo mashkon ve'ein lakuti esek klum meYisrael asheni avo b'malva ala mashkon eitzel mi shemotze akuti mashkono hu podehu ve'eino nosin ribis b'shlichos Reuven. Whoever the guy finds the mashkon by, he'll pay him back. It's not a shlichos to the original malva. El lakom bi shemasher lo mashkono hu nosin haribis ve'gam kvar hotzi Reuven amash." It's true, technically, legally, the guy had borrowed money from Reuven. But the second Reuven gave over the mashkon, Shimon becomes the malve. And therefore the money is being paid to Shimon. Whoever, and it's as if Reuven left it. He didn't, but it's as if he did. So the Rosh also agrees with this. The reason that mashkon is powerful in some way, it holds within it the power to force someone to collect, and therefore at some level it holds the loan in it. I gave you other, right? I gave you other examples to prove it. Now there is a bit of a complexity here because it's not totally clear, because the mashkon of a guy is a bit different than other things. I gave you just a summary of that in Meiri. The Meiri notes the yesh mishomer shlo nemar b'mashkon da'achem shemakadesh el mashkon shel Yisrael mashkon shagoy ainu mikudesh shagoy miYisrael b'Yisrael megoy ainu kone mashkon. Right? He said, maybe the Kiddushin case will only work with Jewish mashkon and not a goy's mashkon. V'chein kasvu gedolei arishon b'shmuz Yisrael she'ilvul nachri alchimtzo mikol makom. So v'der shalu b'mashkanta the goy ikiz v'inei hu v'tzarach tvila imu klin shemishtamshin bo olo v'lo huvra v'toch kach matzvichim b'tvila misafeg. Right, he said, this is very complicated, and I gave you some sources on this, whether this is true that by mashkon it works. It comes up in number 13, where the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has a discussion about a mashkon of a, if you give something as a mashkon to a guy, does it become, do you need to be tovel it? There's issues in terms of chametz. I gave you some makaros on it. You can look at it, but I think it's not going to be worth getting into it now. That goes through 16. One more proof to this idea is from a position of Reb Chaim, a proof from Reb Chaim, whatever, is, which seems to emerge from a position of Shmuel in the Gemara. A radical interpretation of this is, this I got from Reb Bednarz. If you look at 17, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Haimain de Uzve Alfa Zuze Lechavre, Mishkin Lekata de Magla, Avad Kata de Magla, Avad Alfa Zuze. Shmuel says, what happens if I lend you a $5, I lend you $1,000 on a $5 mashkon, and you lose the $5 mashkon? How much money do I owe you now? So Svara would be $995. Shmuel says you owe him zero. You lose the mashkon, you lose everything. Right? And that's a very extreme way of saying, yeah, the mashkon is, right? Now, we don't paskin that way, right? We don't paskin like Shmuel. We paskin that the mashkon only wipes away the value of the mashkon. But Shmuel's basic svara, that at some level, the mashkon, the whole loan becomes wrapped in the mashkon, he goes farther. He says the mashkon can wrap up the loan even if it's not worth as much as the mashkon. Even if we don't go that far, the point is, the fact that anyone could even say that tells you that a mashkon isn't just a guarantee. Right? At some level, the essence of the loan becomes embedded in it. You want another raya to it? Look at 18. Right? Just a blot later in Shavuos, the Gemara says, Lema kitanoi, hamavas chaver al mashkon, minichna shmita, afu pish eno shave el apalga, eno mishame, divir shmengon leo, rehudan asi, amrim haya mashkon, get a chobuk, eno mishame, min lav mishame. So the Gemara has a discussion. Okay, the halacha is, as we already saw in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that if you lend money to someone with a mashkon, shmita doesn't wipe it away. Right? There's a machlokas in the Gemara. What does it mean, shmita doesn't wipe it away? Does that mean that if I have a $100 loan and a $100 mashkon, so then shmita doesn't wipe it away because I have to redeem my mashkon $100? Or if, even if I have a $5 mashkon, that protects the entire loan from being wiped away. So that's another Gemara. Right, another machlokas in the Gemara, and again, you see that again, right? How could it be that a $5 mashkon could even possibly protect a $100 loan? Well, the answer is because it's more than just a technical guarantee. At some level, it embodies the loan, and therefore, if it exists, the loan continues to exist, even if Shemitah is going to be Meshameh, because it can't be Meshameh to mashkon, and even though it may be worth more money, it doesn't matter. The way Reb Chaim formulates it, I can't find the piece, and it's not in Reb Chaim, it's quoted in the Birkas Shmuel, but I can't find the piece in the Birkas Shmuel either. So I had to find you inside the Shirim of David Pavarsky, who quotes Reb Chaim from the Birkas Shmuel, and he uses it to explain one last position, and that is that there's a machlokes, Ramban and Rashi, while I hold on to Adam's mashkon, how liable am I? So the Ramban says, I'm liable like a shomer sachar. And therefore, if an onus happens, I'm exempt because, you know, fine. Rashi says, you're chayv in onsen, right? That the malveh, right, is chayv in onsen no matter what happens. Now, most achronim explain Rashi as saying the reason this is true is because the malveh becomes an owner based on Rabbi Yitzchak. Reb Chaim suggests a different one. He says, now, why does Rashi say that I'm chayv in onsen? He says, mishum de etzem hachov munach b'mashkon, v'yesh lo demei halva b'mashkon, mishum hachik sh'nevet achif, it's of the halva. He says, it's not about ownership, right? It's because the loan is wrapped up in the mashkon. And if I, right, to the extent that I lose the mashkon, it doesn't matter why it happened, right? If something happens to the mashkon, something happens to the loan, right? The mashkon, why does Rashi think you're chayv in onsen? Because it's not a liability question. It's I hold onto the mashkon and the mashkon embodies the loan. If the mashkon gets hit by lightning, it's not my fault. But it's a reality. The mashkon disappeared, so the loan went with it. From all these, right, svaras, you see at different madrigos, that a mashkon isn't viewed by the Gemara, by the Rishonim, by the Achronim, as simply a guarantee on a loan. It is an embodiment of the loan. With this, you can look at 20, and we can understand just some of these cases. Yeah, if that's clear, then we'll go on. Yeah.
If you have the mashkon and the shmita don't reply, why you need prosbul? This is the.
You don't need a prosbul. If you have a mashkon, you don't need a prosbul.
Why? That's generally, you need the prosbul. give everyone going to give
in a chalami, you could do that. You could do that. Oh, I mean, if you paskin that way, right? It's true, you could, but you know, not everyone wants to do mashkon. I mean, but you're right. It's a mechanism. You can give people mashkon. I don't think we paskin that way. But I don't think we paskin like that. Gemara is told that in Shmuel, right? I think we only do a kinegdo. If you do a kinegdo, it makes sense, right? What are you going to do? But like, let's say, you know, pretty much any mortgage, right? You could make an argument that you wouldn't need a prusbel on a mortgage, right? Because the mashkon is the house, right? And the house is just, is kineged the loan.
It's a real mashkon. You can do like,
correct.
You can do like in $5 mashkon for, I don't know.
No. So I don't think we paskin that way. I was just using it to, right? Again, there's a machlokes. My argument is that even if we paskin, that it's only not mishamet kineged achov. That doesn't change the point, right? It's, you see it at the extreme, right? The fact that there's even a sheet that says a $5 mashkin can protect a $1 million loan tells you that it's more than just a means of being pareah. We don't paskin that way, but the yesod, I think, doesn't disappear. And that's why, as I said, you know, Reb Chaim thinks is what Rashi means. Even if we don't paskin that way, that at some level, the reason that Mashkin can do this is because it's more than just a guarantee on payment. And that's why if you look at some of these cases, again, we have 13 minutes, we'll cover a few of them just to give examples. We're not going to go through all of them because you'll see how bad they are. But I just wanted to set out, I thought, you know, last week I had a headache by the end and I didn't feel like I given a conceptual background to explain why this works. Now I wanted to go to the opposite extreme, explain why these things work, and then see the cases. So you look, for example, Siftes. Oved kochavim shalavim Yisrael ma'os beribis ala mashkon. So, the non-Jew borrows money from the Jew using a mashkon. Uvishas pedias a mashkon, as the goy comes and is going to redeem the mashkon, by Yisrael v'amar, another Jew comes and says, shalihu a mashkon, right? And says, it's my mashkon, right? So he says, Lo yaminu amalveh. Don't. Why did I give the first case of mashkon is actually an amonos one. He says lo yaminu amalveh. You don't believe him. Ve'idim yilchavi kilechal ha'id she'elu amos atzmenos amalveh lo chamchazim nasi Yisrael kiyachal omer akvam atzmenos available lo. Right. So he says, first of all, you don't believe him. There's nothing you can do to prove it. But imu yodesh amashkon shel Yisrael. If you know that the mashkon was originally the Jews, so then, right, aser lehalvos alav. Right? So then, this whole thing became usur. Why? Right? I actually borrowed money from a... Right? The guy actually borrowed money from a Jew. Right? Why is it now usur for me to take ribis? Right? Because the loan was in the mashkon, and the mashkon wasn't his to give, it was a Jew's. And therefore, even though, yeah, the person I lent money to was a non-Jew, if it turns out that it's not... that the mashkon was a Jew's, then what I was essentially doing was lending money to a Jew via the mashkon, right? The lova was a guy, doesn't matter, right? And therefore you can't do it. V'meina yodei bevada, and then it gets into all types of ne'emanos, but why is that a problem, right? The interaction in terms of the actual loan was lova, was guy and Jew. It doesn't matter because the, what?
This is precisely the case that was just in the Shulchan Aruch.
No, it's the opposite case. It's the opposite case, right? That's the right. Look at no, that's the opposite case. This is from four letters later in the in that long Shuvas Harash. Why did this start? Go blocking me. Okay. Let's look. I mean, look at Sif Yud, right? Ovid kochavim shemishkein liyisrael b'chovo. Mishkein ha-ovid kochavim oso mashkon liyisrael b'ribis, right? So a non-Jew now. God. This is where it gets very confusing. You have to figure out who's who here. So the non-Jew here gives the mashkon to Yisrael. The Yisrael, in this case, is still the Malva? Still the Malva? Think so? No.
No,
it's the other way around.
Yisrael gets the mashkon.
Right, yeah. It's the other way. The Oved Kochavim is the Malva, the Jew is the Lova, and then, Umishkein HaOved Kochavim Oso Mashkon LeYisrael Beribis. The non-Jew is holding on to the Jew's mashkon, and then he's holding on to it, and he borrows money from a Jew using the mashkon that he has from another Jew. So now, Jew 1 is connected to Jew 2 through the mashkon he gave in a loan to the guy.
And with ribbis.
With ribbis, right? With ribbis. That's the key, obviously, right? Is that there's ribbis in the middle here, and now the two Jews are connected only insofar as the mashkon from the Jew to the non-Jew is now in the hands of yet another Jew. So he says, Imishken over Klavim also mashkon li Yisrael beribbis, im ha-Yisrael podehu, if the first Jew comes to redeem it, even though he's redeeming his loan to the guy, asher likach menu ribbis, he can't take ribbis, right? Why? Again, it's true. The Jew borrowed money from the guy. The guy borrowed money in turn from a different Jew.
But he is supposed to be like...
Correct, you lose your ribbis.
Because the mashkon, it's a Jew. What is the difference? Who is going to redeem the mashkon?
And that's exactly his point. Because
no,
even though...
But
he says, when is this true? Only if, right... It's in the mashkon. If the achray is achov, meaning there's if there's other achrayas, you have shibud nechazim, right?
Even though the mashkon is yehudi.
Yes.
So he says.
How does that fit into the svar?
So he says, "Im achray is achov v'haribis eino la mashkon levad." So elo gamal oved kochavim mutter. Now he says, right? You could create cases not like this. You're right.
No, but here it's according to what he says that it's not like the difference is not who is on. Who is Baal HaMashkon? It's like the difference of who is going to redeem the Mashkon.
Correct. Well, I mean, now, you're right. Right? I set up the conceptual background. It's true. There are different type of Mashkonot, and there's also a difference, and you're going to have to deal with this, because this is really a geisugya, between what's called Mashkon Medinei Akum and Mashkon Medinei Yisrael, which are different, right? Because, right, Mashkon Medinei Akum and Yisrael work differently because of Arvus work differently, Arav and Arav Kabbalah and Arav Shlufta. Right? There's all types of complexities here, which... Or it's a, which way?
That's a whole other discussion.
Yes. You're right. Not all mashkonot are created equal, right? Certain mashkonot work the way I said, and certain mashkonot really seem to only, you know, act as ways that you can pay and don't embody the loan. Which ones are which, right? Obviously, if we had more than an hour, we could go through different types of mashkonot. There are different types of mashkonot. We know that. And I didn't even get into the question of a mashkon b'shas that is given b'shas piraon. That's given b'shas, right, b'shas tviyas mamon, and one that's given in the chov, and those are different, right? And they could be different in opposite ways, right? It's a machlokas because we've shown him. They're different girsos. It gets into a nightmare. You're right. They're a different type of mashkonot. I wanted to set up just the possibility of this. You're right. Certain mashkonot is not true. Certain mashkonot we view, not the way I just said, in a much weaker way, is simply guaranteeing the loan. And that's essentially what Shulchan Aruch is saying. He's saying a mashkon which is formulated such that whoever holds the mashkon, right, collects, isn't merely a strong, you know, guarantee on it. It is embodying the loan. You're right. You could create a situation where the mashkon has less power, in which case the non-Jew in the middle would not disappear from it. Right? Yeah.
Couldn't you just say then that the fact that maybe this is part of what you meant, I'm not sure, that the fact that Mashkon embodies the Chov, it's not a magical chalos like of Mashkon, it's just that it depends, it implies something about how the deal...
Correct. No, you're right. No, I agree. It's not magical. I like Rav Asher Weiss's formulation. I like Rav Asher Weiss's formulation. It's not a magical chalos. It's that when you formulate a mashkon as that which you're going to be used to be goveh, that will allow you to be goveh, then it writes a backstory to itself. You're right. You could write a different backstory to it, right?
It's just implying a certain kind of deal. And you can say here,
correct,
there's a different deal. Part of the achrayus is on the mashkon, and part of it is not.
Correct. Correct. Right. I'm not saying every mashkon is exactly the same. We know not every mashkon is the exact same. But the... Right, the fact that a mashkon can function in this way, right, where it's not just a guarantee, but it actually, right, in some way holds, right, sort of has the loan in it.
This means that when you made the chov, the deal.
Exactly.
I'm not paying you back the money. I'm being poed to the mashkon.
Exactly, and that's in the extreme language. That's what you find, right? Is that once you have a real mashkon, it's not even considered a loan. It's called pity, right? It's not called paying back a loan. It's pity on a mashkon, right? That's sort of a very radical way of saying it. But you're right. Now again, like I said, to go through every case is impossible. But that's what you see in cases like Yud, right? Where there's a certain type of mashkonot where that's the reality, right? The mashkon passes from the Jew. And again, even though, right, it's clearly not pure, it's not pure that there's no loan or no loan, it's pidyon a mashkon. Because if it was a pidyon a mashkon without a loan, then the Jew should be able to be potter to the mashkon for the other Jew. And you would say, well, that's mutter. That's not called ribis. That's called a higher price for the mashkon.
Original loves still remains the original loves.
Well, that's exactly my point. I mean, it's not pure pidyon. It's in some way, when we say that it's a pidyon hamashkon, what we mean is that, yes, it has the ability to change the address of the malva loves, right? But right, so it's more than just saying, it's not that it's, you know, it, yes, it is a chalos in a certain sense, right? That it holds the loan in it. You're right, not every mashkan is like this, but it's also not that it changes the nature of the loan such that it's only a pidyon of a object and not a loan, because then it wouldn't be a problem when it goes Jew, non-Jew, Jew. Right? The fact that a Jew can't redeem the mashkan from the Jew, even though he was never a lovet, he was never the malvet to the other Jew, shows you that it whoever is poded is the loveh, and whoever is nifteh from is the malveh, right? So it does bring the loan with it. So it, right? It's not. So that's the point. That's why the reason I went through, you know, sort of the mental gymnastics in the part before is because it's not as simple as saying it's just not a loan at all, just a pidyon of an object. It's also not as simple as saying it's a guarantee. It has some level of guarantee, and certain mashkanot are mere guarantees if you've set up other achrayus also. But if you've relied completely on the mashkon, that's what's guaranteeing it. It's not just a strong guarantee. In some way, it is, to use Rashi's language, it gives you the ability to collect, and the ability to collect allows you to rewrite history that whoever holds the ability to collect is Mimela the Malveh. And whoever has to collect it from him is therefore the Loveh. And therefore, if the mashkon ends up in the hands of another Jew, you can't pay ribbis, even though I did everything behet there. Now, he notes, V'chenim Yisrael am mushkan lo yodosho v'kechom am mashkan ratzal mashkan v'yad Yisrael mutter l'kabal ha-keren v'aribis mi'ad Yisrael. He says that's not totally true, because if I didn't know it was going to happen, I had no idea that he wanted to do this, and maybe it's mutter, then you have to ask, is this just derabanan? Is it because, you know, maybe I didn't give him the permission to do it, and therefore I would have withheld that permission from him, right? What exactly it is, again, you have to work out each case independently, but I just wanted to, like, Lisaber to Ozen, to explain why these cases work at all. You look, like, just to give another example, you skip to, let's say, Yudbet, right? Yisrael shehilvul kochavim biribis ala mashkon v'amarlei v'acharkach amarlei tein hamashkon l'ruvein v'hu yitein l'chama ozecha, right? So a Jew lent money to a non-Jew and guaranteed with a ribis, and then he said, give the mashkon to Ruvain, right, and he will pay you back. Achein asa. So nasan hamashkon leRuvain limkor. Right, he gave it to Ruvain to sell. Ruvain ikev hamoz biyado achar. Just to, you see why these cases get nightmarish, right? Because then they sold it again, right? So then Ruvain ikev hamoz biyado achar mechiras hamashkon vaamalvet tovei ribis achiyavi ma'usav biyado vaovikom eino rote liten yozer me ad shas mechira beinyan sheRuvain tzarch liten hamoser. Right? How that happened, right? I'm not totally sure, right? But what you see is, right, this mashkon, right, case, it's not just like once, right? You can, because of the way the mashkon holds the loan, it can create these nightmarish cases, right, of a Jew gave it to a non-Jew, gave it to a Jew who sold it, who then the non-Jew didn't want to pay, and we are forced to go back like four steps and figure out what just happened, what conceptually happened, who's now the malva, who's now the loveh. Now, why do any of those cases even make sense? And again, that's what I wanted to try to prove at the beginning, is that mashkon isn't just a guarantee, right? And it's also not, right, at the opposite extreme, something that, you know, I totally own, and therefore when you come, you're not paying back a loan, you're just being poed an object. It is something which gives you the power to collect, and therefore, because you can use it to guarantee collection, also rewrites history halachically, and makes whoever holds it at some level the malveh. And that's why these cases, right, become so problematic. Because even though it's mutter for a Jew to lend to a non-Jew, a non-Jew to lend to a Jew, because the mashkon sort of brings with it a back history and writes the history as it goes along, right? It can create problems even when it started completely beheter, right? Or could solve problems potentially. And it's because of that notion that a mashkon is this, you know, a creator of malvas, as it were, right? That it creates problems, and that's sort of the yesodot. If you want to go through all the cases, all the 27 cases, or whatever it is, in Guf Samachtes, that's the conceptual background to understand it. Again, you know, for our purposes, we'll never get anywhere if I try to understand all the cases, but I want to just give you sort of the conceptual background to understand what's happening.